Good morning, Tim.
Good morning, Tom.
We've got a new start jingle today. It's all Christmassy themed.
Oh, good.
The first Noel. We've moved away from the mellow dun 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 kind of thing to a da 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 da. Well, the music itself is better.
But first of December. It's second of December, rather. Is it the second? Oh, it's the second, isn't it? Yeah.
It's the second of December. But of course, you'll know by now, we record this a day early, so it can come to you at. So these go live at 4 a.m. In the morning. And I know some of you probably think that we're up recording this at 3:30 in the morning, which, you know, maybe if, let's say, Easter Sunday, we might be able to go to that level of commitment. But I'm just going to put it out there. I think it's OK that we record a single day early to make sure that you can get this on time.
Yeah.
But it's great. So, it's great to be able to join you through this Advent period. And it's great to be able to podcast every weekday, every day of the week. To you, and we're really looking forward to what's going to come. Of course, we'll say it, the day we're recording is the 1st of December, and for many people, the 1st of December marks the day when you can start getting Christmassy. And for us, in our house, what that meant was Becca went out to the shop and she bought a little Christmas tree. And I'm saying a little one because this is for, apparently this is a thing now, to put on top of our dining room table. I don't get
That's
it.
Lovely.
We have an artificial tree for upstairs, but it's just a very strange little thing. But it also means that our Christmas tree is up. Our Christmas tree is up, and it's being decorated as I speak. So it's fantastic. It really is, and I'm starting to feel a little bit Christmassy, a little less COVID-y, and a little more Christmassy.
It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas. Anyway, enough of that. We're not here to entertain with singing, are we? We're here to
open up,
think
God's
about
word.
Advent. Yes,
open absolutely. Up God's word and let that do the talking. Yeah. These podcasts on our midweek, the Wednesday, are going to look a little bit. Well, they're not going to look like anything. They're going to sound a little different from what we have normally been doing through our NBC Connect podcasts up till now, because these are going to be a lot more focused. We've still got a kind of bit of time for us to share things with you, as we have just done. But we're going to focus a little bit more on the text that we're sharing with you each day, because we really do believe over this period of time that it's better, it's much better for us to let God's word do the talking rather than me, Tim, and anyone else who's contributing to it really saying a lot, because the Bible is so full of amazing words for us today. And we've got two passages that we want to open up to you today on this. I don't know, are we saying it's the third day of Advent? I've lost track of what days of Advent we're on.
Yeah.
Basically, on the 2nd of December, what we're wanting to share with you today. And our first passage comes from the Old Testament. And Tim has very, very kindly offered to read it to us.
So this is from Genesis chapter 12. And this is the story of Abram. So this is Abraham before his name was changed, while he was getting ready. And God called him and God sent him. And Abraham obeyed with this incredible promise ringing in his ears. So from Genesis chapter 12, verse 1. The Lord said to Abram, go from your land, your relatives and your father's house to the land that I will show you. I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you. I will make your name great and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you. I will curse anyone who treats you with contempt, and all the peoples on earth will be blessed through you. Amen.
Amen to that.
It's a staggering, staggering few verses, isn't it, of this promise, this calling of Abraham. And Genesis 12 marks a very significant break from what has happened before, creation and Noah, and then the Tower of Babel in Genesis 11, where the people were reaching out to be God rather than reaching out for God. And then we've got this brand new start, haven't we? And it's Advent in its nature, really, because there's an anticipation of something brand new about to happen. And God decided to call Abraham to be the one who would carry this new hope and this new blessing into the future as well. And I love this passage because it just talks about blessing. and God's ability to bless, but not just for the sake of it, but for us to be a blessing then in return. So he gives in order for us to give. And this thought that, you know, people, all peoples on earth will be blessed from this very beginning of Abraham. And if you were with us on a Sunday a couple of weeks ago and we looked at the genealogy of Jesus from Matthew chapter 1, you'll know that as Matthew begins his genealogy that traces us to Jesus, it starts with Abram. It starts with this amazing man who, as Hebrews says, he didn't know where he was going, but he went. He obeyed God's call because he was so captivated by this thought of God's blessing upon him. Now, I'm sure part of that for him was about possessions and God seeing God's blessing in that very obvious way. In terms of the Old Testament, we see that time and time and time again, that God's blessing is seen through his provision to them. But this was about God setting out a new future, not only for him, but that all peoples would be blessed through him. And I think this just... it's such a challenge, I think, for me, and I'm sure for all of us, that when God blesses us, we don't just become recipients of that blessing, like a deposit. We don't just become like a barrel being filled up just for us, but we become people who then overflow with that blessing to other people, to the people that we encounter, the people that we meet every day. So this is an amazing sort of Advent challenge, really, that we get to be a blessing to those who we're going to bump into during this period of time.
And there's two big parts of this blessing that has come and this prophecy. First of all, God says to Abraham, I'm going to turn you into a great nation. And if you've followed through your Bible, if you've read even any part of the Old Testament, you'll probably realize that Israel did become a great nation. It took a long time to get to that point, but Israel did become a great nation. And I guess that part of it is very easy to see during the Old Testament story. That actually happened before Jesus came into the world. But this next part, if from verse 3, all the peoples on earth will be blessed through you. That's something that doesn't happen until the New Testament, until actually after Jesus has come, he's died, he's been raised back to life, and then gone back to heaven to be with his Father. And we're at this interesting point when actually this prophecy talks about the immediate future, but it also talks about the long-term future. And what's interesting is that this prophecy today is still coming true, because it wasn't until the apostles went into Europe and beyond that we really see a lot of this come true, that the God of Abraham was to be worshipped and to be known, and that people could experience the love that would come from that. Because actually, this is ongoing. And at the minute, I was doing a bit of research, and it's estimated that there are 2.2 billion Christians in the world right now. 2.2 billion. Now, if you know how many people are in there, are on our earth right now, there's around 7 billion. So a third, or as close to a third as I'll get statistically, of people follow the God of Abraham. As we read here, all the peoples on earth will be blessed by you. Even as we go to countries where you might think that this isn't possible. Take China, for example. There's 31 million registered Christians in China, registered, okay? It's estimated that there is 100 million more who do not want to profess their faith publicly for fear of persecution. But there are a lot of people, even in places where you might think that the Bible hasn't got to them yet. The good news of Jesus has spread all around the world, and we can trace it right back to the prophecy that God said to Abraham back in Genesis chapter 12 of, go from your land, your relatives and your father's house, to the land that I will show you. All the peoples on earth will be blessed through you. And it is just remarkable. It's remarkable to see these things still coming true now. And part of the reason that they come true today is because people who follow Jesus, Christians, believers, are following up on this blessing aspect, and they are continuing to make this happen. They're continuing to reflect the light of Jesus in our world now. People who are missionaries do it all the time. And part of the charge that goes to them, we can read about in Galatians chapter 3, which is our second reading for today. And this is starting at verse 7. And this is part of the reason why we do what we do here on earth. So this is Galatians 3, starting at verse 7. Understand then that those who have faith are children of Abraham. Scripture foresaw that God would justify the Gentiles by faith and announce the gospel in advance to Abraham. All nations will be blessed through you. So those who rely on faith are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith. For all who rely on the works of the law are under a curse, as it is written, cursed is everyone who does not continue to do everything written in the book of the law. Clearly, no one who relies on the law is justified before God, because the righteous will live by faith. The law is not based on faith. On the contrary, it says, the person who does these things will live by them. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who is hung on a pole. He redeemed us in order that the blessing given to Abraham might come to the Gentiles through Christ Jesus, so that by faith we might receive the promise of the Spirit. Brothers and sisters, let me take an example from everyday life. Just as no one can set aside or add to a human covenant that has been duly established, so it is in this case. The promises were spoken to Abraham and to his seed. Scripture does not say, and to seeds, meaning many people, but and to your seed, meaning one person, who is Christ Jesus. What I mean is this. The law introduced 430 years later does not set aside the covenant previously established by God and thus do away with the promise. For if the inheritance depends on the law, then it is no longer depends on the promise, but God in his grace gave it to Abraham through a promise. Why then was the law given at all? It was added because of the transgressions until the seed to whom the promise referred had come. The law was given through angels and entrusted to a mediator. A mediator, however, implies more than one party, but God is one. Is the law therefore opposed to the promises of God? Absolutely not. For if a law had been given that could impart life, then righteousness would certainly have come by the law. But Scripture has locked up everything under the control of sin, so that what was promised, being given through faith in Jesus Christ, might be given to those who believe. Before the coming of this faith, we were held in custody under the law, locked up until the faith that was to come would be revealed. So the law was our guardian until Christ came, that we might be justified by faith. Now that this faith has come, we are no longer under a guardian. So in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free, nor is there male and female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. If you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise.
Well... There's so much to take in a passage like that. And Paul lays his thinking out, doesn't he? Very, very carefully and very helpfully for us to understand that we are the people who are recipients of that promise, but also the carriers of that promise, so that others too might feel included and part of this great family that God has been blessing around our world as well up to this day. Just good to know that we are children of God through faith, believing and trusting the promises of his blessing into our own lives every single day.
And it might seem difficult at times to see how God is blessing us. Please don't think that this passage says that everything is going to be rosy every day of the week. But there's moments when we can look back and we can actually say that we've seen this. We know this to be true. We've seen God's blessing, and we can know fully that God is at work in our lives, in our community, in the wider world that we live in. I suppose when we're thinking of what's gone on recently, we have to say that we can't understand fully why what's been going on in the world has. But I really do believe that there is work in the scientific field right now to make vaccinations that are possible for us. And we should be thanking God for that. We should thank God for roofs over our heads. We should thank God for friends and family. We should thank God for health. And we should thank God for every blessing that we see around us. It's a remarkable passage and it's a remarkable story. And it's one that we are part of. We are living out these prophecies. And when Paul is retelling it to us, we are part of this story too. We belong to Christ. We are Abraham's seed and we are heirs according to the promise set out all those years ago.
It's good to let the word of God dwell richly in our hearts. And as we go through this Advent season together, then I hope and pray that each of you that is listening will allow the Holy Spirit to bring freshness, will bring life to his word, and that life will be life-changing in you as well each day. We should pray blessing on you, upon one another, and all that God has in store for us during this season as we engage with him, as he takes us on our journey during this particular time. Let's pray together. Father, we just want to thank you for your promises towards us. Thank you for that promise of blessing that you gave centuries ago, but that is still having an impact today, every day, as people who didn't know you turn towards you and become part of this incredible family. Thank you that there is no distinction, there is no barrier, there is no separation, but that we are one in you, drawn into that unity because of Jesus. So I pray that you will take that word, plant it in our hearts, that we will feel encouraged and challenged to be the people who continue this incredible story, that Abraham was obedient to your call, and I pray that you'll find us obedient to the call you place on our lives, not only during this season, but in the year to come. Make us a people ready, prepared for all that you have to do. Do something new, Lord, I pray, in your name. Amen.
Amen. Seems apt for us to finish there. Of course, this week is the week when we celebrate hope. And I think this idea of God blessing all the nations fits in perfectly with that. We are the people to carry this message of hope over this season. We are the ones to go and bless all the people in our neighbourhood and community. And as lockdown lifts today, we're aware that there's a real need for people to get out. And whilst we must encourage everyone to still stay safe, think creatively over this season. Think of how you can bless the people on your street, the people in your workplace, the people who you contact, and use this as an opportunity to carry the message of hope of Jesus Christ to every single person that you come into contact with. God bless you. Have a wonderful, wonderful week, and we will see you tomorrow. We'll come to your ears tomorrow as we continue with our Advent podcasts for 2020. Bye.
Bye-bye.